Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
So how many of you know what this year's theme is? Or a couple of you know. How many of you know what this year's theme is? Chapter 2. And what we've been saying? Chapter 2 begins with you. And I was thinking to myself, what does that mean? Where does it begin? What is chapter 2? You don't have to play the whole time. Thank you, Pat and the worship team. You guys are incredible. They'll be back shortly because we're going to continue worshiping. Chapter 2 begins with you. What does that mean for 2024? I was asking myself and I was praying during my time off. And I was thinking, I have so many catch-ups with people throughout the years. And they say to me, Pastor Christian, how do I find my calling? What's my purpose? And it's a good thing to ask at the start of 2024. What's my calling for this year? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to do this year? What is God calling me to do this year? And I'm sitting there and I'm having coffees with people. And it's like they're asking these deep questions. How do I unlock it? What are the 10 steps to unlock God's calling for my life? What steps did you take to unlock your calling in life? How did you find your calling? Did you search for ages? Did you travel the seas looking for your calling? And sometimes I feel like the expectation of the answer is some kind of complicated and grandiose answer that is like mythical, like it's complicated. It's this big, mysterious thing. I feel like that's the answer they're waiting for, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, this. It's not that complicated. I think, I don't know. And I think to myself, this is what they're probably wanting me to say to them. There's a clip here. This is in my mind because I imagine a lot of things and I play a lot of pictures in my head. So as they're waiting for the answer, how do I find my calling? I think that they're thinking I'm going to say this. And there's a clip that I've prepared earlier. Play. What I think they're waiting for, this grandiose moment of calling. Pastor Martin, welcome. It's so good to have you in Melbourne, Pastor Rose and your daughters. I asked for permission to use that. I did. This is Enjoy Church. Come on. We're a Bible-believing church. We're Christ-centered. We're gospel-centered. But we're going to have fun while we preach the word. Now, that might be the way that Pastor Martin was called. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, he told me he was called like that. But I think for most people, in most cases, it's actually not like that. What I read in the Bible, it's less complicated, less grandiose than that. So if chapter 2 begins with me and begins with you in 2024, what am I called to? What is my purpose for this year? We read in Matthew 4, verse 18 to 22. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. Verse 21, a little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. And immediately they followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Before we continue, can we pray? Father God, we thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are moving in this place. Holy Spirit, I pray that your word would speak to us today, God. Let it be your words and not mine. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Just think for a moment. I know we read this and it seems like, oh yeah, Jesus saw some men doing their fishing and he said, come follow me. And they got up and followed him. That's normal, isn't it? I know that it feels like it's normal, but put yourself in their shoes, right? Put yourself in their shoes. Have any of you ever dropped everything and followed a stranger? Or just followed a stranger, not dropped everything? Have you, any of you ever just followed a stranger? I remember, there's this story, as I was preparing this, I'm like, I remember following a stranger up a mountain once. And I'll give you a bit of context, okay? I was in Thailand and I was visiting my brother. He had been living there for quite a few years, yeah? He'd been living there. He made a decision to turn his life around and he was there to restart, really. And as I was visiting him, he goes, hey, there's this mountain that's close by. Let's go climb it. I know a guy that knows how to climb this mountain. I'm like, cool, let's climb a mountain. Anyone like climbing mountains here? A couple people, yeah? Oh, see that hand. So we get there, and I remember this guy because he had a French accent, a real thick French accent. And there's a picture of the mountain here. There, it's all like rice fields, and then out of nowhere, these huge rocks just come out of the land. And we're gonna climb one of these. All right, let's go do it. We get there, and this is the guy that was gonna lead us up there. And there's a picture of him. His name is Zulu. How many of you know not to follow a guy named Zulu up a mountain, right? As I'm about to go on this, and he goes, follow me. Gav says, by the way, my brother says, by the way, Zulu's blind. Completely blind in one eye, and he can see about 10% in the other. And I'm like, all right, I don't know if this is a good idea right now. And it was really thick with vines and what have you. So Zulu had a machete and he was cutting through. And Gav said, don't go close to him. He can't see. You might get chopped by the machete. So there we are. Gabs, me and Zulu climbing up a mountain. I'm following him. He knows the way. He knows the way. We're going through these like rocks and vines. And then there's this hornet's nest. And Zulu's like, you got to go quickly or the hornet's going to bite you. So there we are. And we got to the top, right? We got to the top. Now, it was a beautiful view. I was up there with Gabs. We talked about the future. We prayed. It was a beautiful moment. Now, I don't want you to interpret this and say, well, this is a very, like, you're like, why are you telling me this story? Like, Jesus and then Zulu. Like, what's the connection here? The parallel is not what I'm trying to say. I didn't follow him like Jesus said to follow him. What I want to make a point of is I didn't know Zulu. I didn't know where he was taking me. But I trusted my brother because I knew my brother. I knew my brother had already gone with him up the mountain, and I knew my brother. And I knew that his word, that Zulu would get us up safe, would be true. Now, we might come to church. You're here on the second Sunday of 2024, and we are Christians. We call a lot of us here. Most of us here call ourselves Christian. But in 2024, do we trust Jesus enough to follow him where he will take us? But I have great news to start off the year. Just like I had my brother Gabs to assure me that I can trust Zulu up the mountain, we have the Holy Spirit that we can trust and give us assurance that we can trust Jesus and follow him wherever he would take us in 2024. We read here in John 15, verse 26. It's the Amplified Version. But when the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of Truth that comes from the Father, he will testify and bear witness about me. He will testify and bear witness that you can trust Jesus in 2024. He will testify and bear witness that wherever he leads you this year, that is where you need to go. There's a quote, and I love this quote, A.W. Tozer, an American preacher, great man. It said, it's not the body of truth that enlightens. It is the spirit of truth who enlightens. It's not me, my words right now that are going to change your mind. It is the Spirit of God who enlightens. If you are willing to obey the Lord Jesus, he will illuminate your spirit. He will inwardly enlighten you. The truth you have known intellectually, because right now you're processing intellectually, right? The truth that you have known intellectually will be known spiritually. Power will begin to flow up and out. You will find yourself changed, marvelously changed. I've got more great news for the start of 2024. Can I share it with you? Yeah? We have the church. We have the church. We have the church and the testimonies and the stories of what Jesus has done in individuals' lives for us to be able to say, you've done it in their life, Jesus. I trust you. Come and see. In John 1:39, it says, Jesus said, come and see. And they went and saw the place where Jesus was staying. The time was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They stayed with Jesus the rest of the day. All around in joy, we have the ability to see what Christ has done in people's lives. All around in joy, for 25 years, we've seen the power of Christ transform people. From darkness to light, from being lost to being found, from being orphans in the spiritual to finding family, having brothers who were born for adversity. Come and see. Come and see. So the big question is, am I called in 2024? And the answer is, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Turn to the person to your right and tell him you are called. I want to see if you get the right and left. Turn to the person to the left and tell him I am called. I can see all the way to the back. People are doing this and that and this and that. So the majority of you have said it and declared it. So what does this mean? I am called. It means to be a follower of Christ. Luke 9:23, it says, then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Follow me. It says here three things. If anyone wants to follow me, be my follower, they must give up their own way. They must take up their cross daily. And they must follow me. See, being a Christian or calling yourself a Christian is being a disciple of Christ, right? It's not that complicated. It's not that mystical. Humans try to complicate things all the time. They try and put their understanding and their interpretations, and you got to do this and got to do that and you got to do this. You know, check out Pastor Shane's post, the last one he did. It's literally talking about that. People just trying to complicate it. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow him. We are called to give up our own way. Other Bible versions say deny ourselves. And I'm not talking about, and it's sometimes mistakenly people are like, I've got to deny having good things or wanting a house or a car or nice things and being humble. But that's not what it means. Because you can, on the outward, be humble and not have things, but on the inside, you're just like, I don't want to do what Jesus wants me to do. I'm going to do it my way. Giving up my own way means saying no to what I want and saying yes to what Jesus wants. Jesus has the right to rule over me. So when he applies his rulership and leads me in a certain direction this year, 2024, will I resist? Will I wrestle with him? Will I go? Will I do? Will I obey? What's the last thing that God asked you to do? What's the last thing that God asked me to do? Through his word or through the Holy Spirit or through a trusted leader? And have we done it? Have we said no to ourselves and yes to Jesus? Yes to following him? We are called to take up our cross daily. I was just watching people write notes. It's pretty cool. When you saw someone carrying a cross beam back in the day, what you knew is that it was a one-way trip. People weren't carrying the cross beam just for like, you know, strength training, yeah? They were carrying it because they were heading on a one-way trip. To take up the cross daily means for us to die to our own plans, to die to our dreams and desires that are unaligned with God, to die to the pressing demands of our own physical cravings, to put to death the selfish arrangements and living in our lives. It means making him the one in charge of our lives. So we want a calling on our lives. We want direction in 2024. It starts with following him. Following him. I told you, it's not complicated, but I didn't say it was easy, right? So we know that we're called. You all agreed. You said to each other, you are called, I am called. I heard it in the house. So we're called. Called to follow. But what's the outworking of that in our worlds? When we follow Jesus, when we put our flesh to death, yeah, it does bless us personally. But there's more to it. You know, that word call, you know, people always wanting to be called for something great. Yeah, I'm always watching sports videos on YouTube. Who's the greatest of all time? And every sport, they argue for forever. Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time, but I'm just going to put it out there in basketball. I see that hand. Yep. The greatest of all time. People want to be called for something great. The world's obsessed with it. Let me tell you this morning, 14th of January, 2024, that you are called to something great. Called to something great, the great purpose. And that great thing is the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. We are called for something great, and that's the Great Commission. Jesus gave this command to the apostles shortly after he ascended into heaven. And he outlines here that he expected the apostles to do this. And we're recipients of their obedience 2,000 years later. If you want to do something great in chapter 2 in 2024, we must commit ourselves and devote ourselves to discipleship and making disciples. You want something practical at the start of the year? I'd love to share something practical with you at the start of this year. All throughout the year, we have discipleship courses, next steps available for us to do. Whatever area of your life that you are wanting to grow in. A disciple is someone who is willing to be taught. Yeah? In 2024, are we willing to learn? Are we willing to be disciples? Are we willing to learn how to be Christ-like? We've got so many courses. If you head out to the hub, you'll be able to see the next step, whatever that course might be. A few of them right here, I'm just going to pass the mission to me. Prepare, enrich, porn-free, facilitator training, alpha course, man-to-man, redefine, scripture in context, alpha, fathers first. There's so many. So what are we called to do? We're called to follow and we're called to make disciples. Two things. I told you it wasn't as glorious as Pastor Martin's calling. But this is what Jesus is calling us to do. A disciple is someone who receives instruction from another person. A disciple of Christ imitates Jesus' example, believes in his resurrection, possesses the Holy Spirit, and lives to do his work. We are called, church, to share the most important and hope-filled news with those around us. We have the ability to change someone's life. How many of you believe that? How many believe that the word is life-changing? But how? Again, it's like, it's not complicated, but it's not that easy. Again, the helper, the Holy Spirit, enables us to do this. Acts 1:8. But you will receive the power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. You see these two verses that I've shared. The first one, the Holy Spirit actually witnesses to us about and bears witness to us about Jesus and who he is. But then when we trust, it is the Holy Spirit that allows us to bear witness to others about Jesus. Now, is that good news or what? We're not doing this on our own. We have the Holy Spirit that guides us, that leads us in both these spaces to trust in Jesus and to be able to share and be his witnesses. I think that's incredible. I don't know about you, but I think that's incredible. The Great Commission is enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our purpose and calling starts here. Who wants to be called for something great this year? Who wants to have purpose this year? And it's not just for pastors or leaders. This is to be outworked in our workplaces, in our schools, in our families, in our churches, in our communities. Now, we all agree we're called, and we all agree we have a great calling, the Great Commission. So what's next as the band comes up? What's next? What will keep us from our calling? What will keep us from our calling? In Matthew 4:18, we read it at the start. Jesus called his first disciples and he simply said, "Follow me." These fishermen responded by leaving their careers, their possessions, and even their families to follow him. There's a parallel verse in Luke 5 that uses the phrase, "they forsook all," as they began this journey with Jesus. The word forsook or forsake literally means they turned their backs on their former lives. It implies a choice and a commitment. Luke 9:57. The title is The Cost of Following Jesus. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. He said to another, come follow me. The man agreed, but said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. Seems pretty reasonable. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. And another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus said to him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Whew. With the last reference to the plow, Jesus seems to be alluding to Elisha in the Old Testament. You know, Jesus knows his scripture. I don't think he's just throwing there a random plow reference. In 1 Kings 19, Elisha was out in the field, plowing, doing his thing, like any other day. And Elijah, the prophet, put his cloak on him to represent that he's being called to be the next prophet. He understood this. And Elisha leaves the oxen and runs after Elijah. And he says to him, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will come with you. And Elijah responds, go back? It sounds like Jesus' response. It seems unreasonable, yeah? But I think both Jesus and Elijah understood the things in our past, how they seem to come into our futures. We might think we let go of them, but they're not quite gone. They're not quite gone. So Elijah goes, says goodbye, then goes and burns his plow. He sacrifices the oxen and cooks a good asado. For him, there was only one direction, and that direction was forward. And Jesus gave each one of his would-be followers the same answer. Set your past on fire. You cannot follow me into the future that I have for you while you're holding on to your past. To be clear, there are things and people from our past that need to go into your future because they're aligned, they're God-aligned things or people. You know, Peter followed Jesus into his future and his brother was there. There are good things from our past, precedents, God's faithfulness that we need to carry into our future. But as I was preparing this word and being honest with myself first and foremost, I know that I'm carrying things from my past that don't belong in my future. And I'm wondering today, as you're listening to me, if there are things in your past that God doesn't want in your future, that God doesn't want us to carry into this year. And what better time to address these things than at the start of the year? I'm wondering if anyone in this place today is carrying disappointment from 2023 or maybe 2020, 2021, 2022. I know I carry disappointment. It's like, give me back my years. I was stuck at home for 2 years, disappointed at things that could have been. And sometimes I find myself talking about them over and over again, like repeating them. It's time to burn those disappointments. They don't belong in your future. What about unforgiveness? Is anyone carrying unforgiveness from 2023? Or I have catch-ups with people who are carrying unforgiveness from their teenage years. And they're in their, whatever, 50s, 60s, 70s. That's a long time to be carrying unforgiveness. To be carrying something that doesn't belong in your future. And the thing is, the only prisoner in that exchange is the person that doesn't forgive. And as soon as they forgive, they are free. Is anyone carrying an addiction into 2024? It doesn't belong in the future that God has for us. It's time to burn that addiction, to say, no more, no more. I'm not carrying this into 2024. It is not my future. Is anyone carrying the glory days into their future? The good old days of how it used to be. You can't go back. Yes, you can build upon it and say, God, do that again. Do that again. But you can't go back. What you can do is say, do it again now, in this time, in our future. God, you know, the revival in Australia started in Sunshine, you know, in the early 1900s. But I can't go, oh, those were the good old days. I have to say, God, revive this city again right now. I can use that precedent and say, I've seen you do it before and I want you to do it again, but I will not think about the glory days. We need new wineskins. In these moments, new starts, new years, disruptive moments, the moments when we must choose between extending our past or creating a new future in God. And we have to decide what future we want and what future we'll pursue, what future we must create. In a moment, I'm going to ask the team to lead us in worship. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, as I've been preaching, is putting and bringing things to your mind, things that you know, that you know that God doesn't want to carry, want you to carry into your future. Because I believe that God wants us to live in freedom. And I don't want to continue in this moment without actually acknowledging the greatest call that we have, and that's the call to repentance. And I'm wondering around the room for a moment if we can just bow our heads, close our eyes. If you're here today, you've been invited to church, you're like, I'm on holidays, I might as well go to church, and you're here today, and you don't know this Jesus who calls us to follow him. Or you might know him, but you feel far away. You know that you're not in his plans and purposes. You're running away. That was me 20 years ago. Grew up in church, knew God, but ran. It's like, I don't want this. But no matter where I ran, I couldn't run away from his love. I couldn't run away from his favor, from his peace. So in this place, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the greatest call is to follow him and give your life to him today.